We are going to this evening start with chapter 1. We finished our introduction chapter last week, and now we're going to hit chapters one by one. Hopefully we'll conclude this study in 4 weeks, and at that particular fifth week we are going to go into a study of Joshua, and that study will be led by Bob Johnston in about 5 weeks. So keep that in the back of your mind, and we'll jump into our study right now. Well, chapter 1, we are going to look on a high level. Naomi and her family go into Moab. They left Bethlehem to go to Moab because of the conditions they were in. The whole family went. We're also going to look at the crises that Naomi faced in her life. Crises are brought on by a lot of different factors. One being wrong choices you make. You want to correct things and it doesn't happen. Other things are the circumstances of the times. We're going to see how these crises affected Naomi. And the latter part of this chapter, we're going to find out she was very bitter. But yet, she just still had a reverence to God. She still gave God the recognition as Him being the sovereign, and God's will should provide, and will be the ultimate thing for everyone. His provision, God's providence, dictates everything. It's not what you and I could do or Naomi and her family did, but it's God's providence. Another point we're going to look at in this particular book, Naomi returns to Bethlehem with Ruth. It must have been a hard decision for her. We read in the first chapter that she spent 10 years in the Moab region. Now she decides, once she heard the news that the famine wasn't in Bethlehem anymore, she decided to go back. We see a foreshadow here of Naomi, who wanted to be in the world, like people today. They turned their backs on God. God was going to provide for His children. We don't know what the circumstances were of the famine, but yet God was going to take care of His children. But yet Elimelech took it upon himself to leave and do it his way. We see a number of things happening in this chapter. And one in particular is Ruth, her character. We're going to see how she is kind, how she is loyal, and how she is faithful. Faithful to her mother-in-law, Naomi. But yet, the love they shared between them was a bond that held them together. And she makes a confession that where Naomi goes, she'll go. Naomi's people will be her people. Naomi's God is her God. What's going to separate them is death. And she recognizes that. But she wants to die also. She wants to be with Ruth. Ruth wants to be with Naomi. Really powerful bond of love. So, the first question on our sheets is, what time in Israel's history does this story take place?
Time of the judges.
Time of the judges, right. So, with that, hold on a second, let me get my Bible up. Can I start in the back and we could read some of these verses? Diane, would you read verses 1 and 2, please, of Ruth chapter 1?
Okay. Now it came about in the days when the judges heard that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion.
Thank you. So, as Diane had indicated, this was in the period of time of the judges. And we read that in the first verse. We see that it came about in the days when judges governed. We went into a little bit of the history last week. There was a 330-year period where the judges ruled. And mostly, the children of Israel, what did they do? They turned their backs on God in this time period. Every time a new judge came, they sinned. But you know, when we look at God's long-suffering and patience, we see that He forgives them once they turn and repent. So it's during a period of judges, and last week we said that we didn't know who the author was, but we could see that since David was mentioned, it could have been Samuel or Ezra. We don't know. It's not specified in the text. The question number two is, why did Elimelech take his family to Moab? What do you think, Nolan?
Well, there's a famine, so they're carrying food.
Exactly. It was a famine. Again, we read that in the first verse. There was a famine in the land. God sent famines to punish his people. We see that in Genesis. We also see that in the time of Abraham, Israel, and Jacob, in their time frame. We don't know why God sent this famine to Bethlehem. We don't know. It could have been. We don't know. All its text says there was a famine in this land. It could have been the weather had such conditions that it was very destructive for those growing crops, and they lost everything. So Elimelech took his family to Moab, which is located about 55 miles north of Bethlehem. He heard that, well, there's food up there. So he decided to go up. But again, when you look at the latter part of this book, we're going to find out that it's God's providence that allowed him to go up. Because we find out later in the book, the fourth chapter, that Ruth is part of the lineage of Christ, which is very important. She wasn't a Jew. What do we know about Elimelech? good.
He was a wealthy man.
Amalek.
And he was the husband of Naomi, of course.
Husband of Naomi. He had
two sons.
And lived in Bethlehem. He had a land inheritance there. We know that if we jump again up to chapter 4, we see that Naomi, Boaz, was going to purchase Naomi's land and be the kingship redeemer. And what that entails is he purchases the land and gives Naomi the money, and after, in the time of the year of Jubilee, that reverts right back to Naomi. But we also see that he had other motives besides purchasing the land, and that is his love of Ruth that he developed when he first saw her in the his barley field, and that relationship started to grow. And we'll get into that a little bit later on. So we see in verse 2, Elimelech, his wife was Naomi. He had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. He was from Bethlehem, and he decided to go to the land of Moab. The Moabs, what do we know about them?
They were cousins of the Israelites.
Right? And there was a rift between them. In fact, we noticed that in the question 4, what happened to Elimelech? He died in the land of Moab. And we read in Deuteronomy, 23rd chapter, that God said, I don't want any of the generations, at least 10 of them, not to enter into the assembly. I read some commentaries where they said, well, they weren't supposed to marry the people from Moab. And that's not true. They forbade the Canaanite women not to marry, but the men were allowed to marry the people from Moab. And we'll see what happened with Elimelech and Naomi's sons. Yes, Ron?
There was, when the children of Israel, prior to their entering the land, they asked Moab if they could travel through their country, and they were refused.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably a little bit of animosity there. Also, during the time of the judges, and I don't know exactly when this is, just said during the time of the judges, Moab had the Israelites under slavery or bondage.
Bondage, yeah.
You find that with Ehud and Eglon, the Moabite king who was so fat. We find that they enslaved or put the Israelites in bondage for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a long time, and so there was probably some bitterness there.
And not only that, as they were traveling through, they asked, hey, can you feed us? And they refused. Yeah.
They also hired
Baal.
Balaam.
Yeah.
Balaam. They hired Balaam to curse the Israelites.
Exactly. So we see this. There's a rift between them. And God noticed this and said, look, they're not allowed for 10 generations to come into your assembly. So God put some restrictions on them. But anyway, when we go through this story, we see that since they live in the land of Moab, his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, decided to marry two ladies from Moab, Moabites. And we'll see, as we go through the remainder of this chapter, we'll see how they, we'll see how that bond of love, kindness, and loyalty played out. What were the crises that Naomi faced in her life? There were quite a few that affected her. Yes, Carol.
Well, she had to leave her home and all the rest of her family.
Yeah.
And then her husband died, and her sons married strange women. And then the sons died. So, and there was a famine in there.
Right, exactly. There's a lot of things that affected her. And that affected her heart, where she turned her back on God. She recognized God as being sovereign, but yet she was very bitter. She said, look, you did all this to me. In fact, we read later on in this particular chapter, when she goes back to Bethlehem, she changes her name to Mara, which means bitter. But she still recognizes as God as being sovereign. In fact, when she decided to leave Moab, her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, started on a journey with her to go back. And when you look at Naomi, she says to them, hey, you girls are young enough, go back to your mother's house and marry those people. So she's actually telling them, don't come back to me. Don't come back to Bethlehem with me. Because my people are there, and this could be my God. Go back to your own people and get married and have a good life. She blessed them in that regard. Rather than encouraging her two daughter-in-laws to remain on that journey to go back. It would have been difficult for them. And we'll go into that little section a little bit later on this evening. So we see in verses 3 to 5, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. And they lived in Moab for about 10 years. And then her two boys die. So she's left with not having a husband, not having children, and she doesn't have any grandchildren. So she's a widow, destitute, in a foreign land. I outlined this, the crisis, as we see in verse 1 of this chapter. They lived in the corrupt days of Judges. And if you go back to Judges chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 and 6, you could see what type of turmoil they lived under. As Carol said, there was famine. Even in Bethlehem. We went through the study of what these names mean, and Bethlehem means the house of bread, verse 1. She distrusted and didn't believe God. So they left Bethlehem and went to Moab and wanted to do it their way, figuring theirs is a better way than God. Because God promised his children, the children of Israel, that he's going to take care of them. Just because there's a famine, something would have worked out. But yet, Naomi and Elimelech wanted to do it their way. They failed to trust God. They left the land that was given to them as an inheritance and went to Moab. They turned from being in the Bethlehem area to going into the world. And that's an admonition for you and I to remember, put God first. Always when you prioritize and put God first. Everything else is second. If you put God first, you put Him above your family, above yourself, God's going to take care of you. He's going to listen and take care of you through your life. And I know this for a fact. It happened in my life. Always put God first, no matter what. There's times when Satan will come in and try to lure you away. And we all have different types of temptations that affect us. But God's not going to give us a temptation that we can't conquer. He will assist us. But yet in Naomi and Elimelech's life, they decided not to follow God. We also see death. Everybody's going to face death. Elimelech died, and also her two sons died. They married women. And a lot of times when you marry an unbeliever, we see in the life of Solomon, where he had all those women that he married, the concubines, what happened to his heart? He eventually turned away from God. And God's trying to warn the children of Israel, you have to stay the course. And that's the same way we have to do. Stay the course, be on the right track, and the way we do it is we study God's Word. There's hopelessness and despair. Here's Naomi, not only lost her husband, her two sons, she was childless, she was a widow, in a foreign land. She was poor. The only thing left she had to do was go back home. Whereas maybe she had friends there who will assist them, but yet, that's the wrong reason for traveling back. Traveling back to Bethlehem, what she should have done was put God first and repent. Naomi foreshadows a picture of somebody who was lost, and now she realized that she's in a lost condition. She's going to turn her heart once again back to God. But yet, you know, it's going to take her a little while to do that. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 3 and 4, no Ammonite or Moabite shall enter the assembly of the Lord. None of their descendants, even to the 10th generation, shall ever enter the assembly of the Lord. And Moses gives us that reason, because they did not, God said to him, they did not meet you with food and water on the way when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor, from Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse you. So these Moabite people were shunned from the Lord. But yet, you look at the story, Ruth plays a important part in the lineage of Christ. So after Naomi's sons die, what did she decide to do? We read in verses 6 and 7. Jerry, would you read those two verses, please?
Sure. And she rose with her daughters to return to Moab, where she had served the field of Moab. The Lord had visited the school, she set out the place where she was in 2005. And they went on the way to
Thank you. So she and her two daughters decided, she decided that we're going to journey back to Bethlehem. Well, they have food there. Going back for food is not the reason you go back. But yet, God's providence comes into play where He's going to allow them to journey back. And we're going to see what happens with the two daughter-in-laws. Why did Naomi want the girls to go home and seek husbands there? Why did she want her two daughter-in-laws to go back to their own people? Carol?
Because she couldn't provide them with new son-in-laws to marry, and they deserved to be married. She didn't want them to be a widow like her. And because widows, one of the things we haven't mentioned here is the fact that as a widow, the only people who are going to take care of her are her family, her kin. Nobody in Moab is going to take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing, if they go to Bethlehem, there's no assurance that anybody will take care of them as widows or marry them. So she wants them to be married and be happy. So she wants them to go home.
Yeah, exactly. So she said, hey, you girls, you're young enough, go home back to your families and get married. She blessed them, yes, sir.
And she's poor. She can't provide for them.
Exactly. She has land back in Bethlehem, but, you know, she's probably an elderly lady. I don't know how old she is, but yet she would have to work the land or hire somebody to work the land for them so that they could get the crops off of that. So it's not a win-win situation for her and her girls. So we see that in verse 8 to 13. And Anne, would you read that for us, please? Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 through 13.
And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, no, but we will surely return with you to your people. But Naomi said, return, my daughters, why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight, and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me.
Thank you. So, it's a pretty interesting bit here. She blesses them, kisses them, and tells them, leave. Go back to your home. But yet, when you think about what she's actually doing, she's saying to them, I'm going back to Bethlehem. And I'm going to take care of myself. Hopefully God takes care of me. But yet, your family could take care of you and you could go back to your gods. Not the right thing to say. There must have been a strong bond between Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws. They loved each other. They saw what type of character Naomi had. Even though she turned her back on God, but yet she would still consider God in her life. But yet she said to him, go back and marry. Yes, Carol?
Well, I'm just having trouble getting my head around the fact that Naomi is only going back because there's food in the land. She's saying here, no, my daughters, it's harder for me than for you. The hand of the Lord is against me. Okay? If the hand of the Lord is against me, you don't want to encourage somebody that you love to come with you. So she's not, in my opinion, she's not saying, she's not taking any authority away from the God, from God. She's just saying, God's hand is against me. I had a husband, I had sons, I'm now empty. And she's going back like the prodigal son because she knows that God will be taking care of her, but for some reason God has, she feels that God has had, the hand has gone against her, and I don't think that she's going back for the wrong reasons, but not as much as the prodigal son.
Right. But yet, she's going back because she feels that eventually God's going to take care of her. But her two daughter-in-laws who were with her, why turn their backs on the Lord? She could teach them and assist them and assist them in their walk with God. Bill?
Yeah, this is the book of Ruth, and it's telling us why Ruth is important to us. And if Elimelech and Naomi hadn't gone to Moab, we never would have had Ruth to be the great-grandmother of King David and in the lineage of Jesus. So wasn't this all set in motion by God?
It's God's providence in play, absolutely. But yet, we see what intertwined these ladies' lives, and that was the love they have for each other, and the love of that was dormant in Naomi's life to God would be again raised up. Yes.
I don't know where, but for some reason I'm thinking that there was something that was said that they were told there was a famine and they were to stay. They were not to go. And I don't know where that would be, but for some reason in my head, that's what I have. And so she knows that she and Elimelech made the decision, or her husband at least made the decision to leave. And everything's been taken away from her in making that decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know where that said that she knew, but I never came across it.
Okay. I don't know why it's in my head.
Get it out of your head. So when you read this particular section, we see that she loves her daughter-in-laws. And was looking out for the best interest of them. We notice in verse 8, Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." Here's the first glimpse of Ruth's character. She was kind to Naomi and to her husband and father-in-law and brother-in-law. So she had a good heart. And she realized that. We see that she loved her two daughter-in-laws and were concerned about their well-being. And it would have been hard for the two daughter-in-laws who were Moabite women to get a husband in Israel, in Bethlehem. We see Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 through 6. And Naomi was familiar with the Old Testament. And as we studied several weeks ago, we know these two particular verses. Wes, can you read that for us, please? Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 and 6. Thank you. So we see that Naomi knew the law, and it would have been very difficult for her two daughter-in-laws to go back to Israel. She didn't have any more sons, and they weren't going to wait for them, if she did have sons, for them to grow up, because they would have been older women, and it would have been difficult for them to marry. So what did Naomi's daughter-in-laws decide to do? Orpah decided to go home. Even though she loved Naomi, she weighed the differences and decided to go home. We see Ruth, her decision was not to leave Naomi. There's another character we could identify with Naomi, with Ruth, and that is loyalty, faithfulness. She loved Naomi and was going to follow her. We read this in verses 14 and 15. And Charlie, could you read that for us, please?
Okay. Verse 14.
And 15, yes.
At this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, her sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her.
Thank you. So we're seeing that Naomi encouraged the girls to go home. And Ruth wasn't going to have any part of that. So she said, look, your sister-in-law is going back. Why don't you go back too? So how does Ruth respond to Naomi? Naomi.
Uh-huh.
Right. And?
And I will be buried where you are.
Exactly.
Yeah, I will be buried.
This declaration is the attitude that Christians should have in their life towards God. Here's Ruth. I don't know if she accepted God at this point in her life as they're living in Moab for 10 years, but yet here she decides to stay with Naomi. In verses 16 through 18, and Carol Lee, would you please read that?
But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there you will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me.
Thank you.
When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging.
So we see Ruth's response. Don't tell me to go back. Don't let me go back to my people. I'm going to follow you. I want to be with you. Sign of loyalty. Being faithful to Naomi. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. This declaration is awesome. From someone who doesn't follow God, but yet she will follow God. She wants to be part of Naomi's family. Anne?
Well, I've always thought, too, one reason she wanted the girls to stay in their own country is she also knew what her countrymen were like. She might have felt she couldn't protect them.
That's very, very good point. Yeah, because we see that in chapter 2 when Boaz sees Naomi in the field. He says, look, he tells the servants, make sure she's not bothered. Help her. Help her and protect her. Yes, Carol.
In verse 17, that last line, thus may the Lord do to me and worse if anything but death parts you and I. She just took a vow. And Naomi has to honor that vow. Because she knows that if you've made a vow before God, that you have to keep it. So that's the end of her trying to dissuade Ruth. But one of the other things, I think you have to know that it's got to be known that their family still practiced, even though they disobeyed God and left the land, they had to still practice and showed God's love in the home and showed God to them in the home, or she wouldn't have just come to her because of the friendship, because she's saying, I know your God. Because Naomi has been showing her God the whole 10 years. And so it's not just Ruth's characters, but it's the fact that Naomi has shown her enough that your God is her, God is strong enough to take care of them, even though Naomi thinks that it's not.
Right. She has a complex, Naomi. She feels that with everything happening to her, God was against her. But in essence, it was God's providential direction for Ruth to come back. And she wasn't aware of all the circumstances that were going to happen. Did you have a question?
Yeah. If in the event that Ruth had not come back with Naomi and she'd gone back alone, was the unnamed near kinsman to Elimelech or Boaz obligated to marry Naomi?
Good question. I don't know what the law is. I believe there has something to do with the lineage continuing. And since Ruth, that I don't know when she became a proselyte. It could have been when she was gleaning in the fields, the barley fields. She realized that, well, maybe I'm going to commit myself to God. Maybe at that time. And then that allowed Boaz, who was much older than her, as we when we read in the following chapters, that he was compassionate and kind towards her. And there must have been some sort of spark growing between them. of love. So,
Naomi says she's too old to have a husband.
Yeah. Yeah, he's talking about Ruth, though.
No, he was talking about Naomi.
Oh, sorry. You were talking about Naomi not being able to have a husband, or Bill?
Well, what Carl was saying was Naomi said she was too old to be a mother. She may have just been being fatalistic. My question was if Ruth had not come back and Naomi had been alone, would the near kinsman or Boaz have been obligated to marry her, whether she could have children or not, to redeem the land?
I don't think that's what the law says. I think if the near kinsman is able and willing, that qualifies the near kinsman to inherit the land if he could afford it, and also to accept the widow. You know, and we see that the other are Boaz's near kinsman decided not to
raise people.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, Ruth is going to fall under this law that we'll see later on. So the only thing that's going to separate Ruth from Naomi would be death. And that's the character that Ruth had displayed. Something that we could look upon in our Christian life. Are we willing are we follow God and His commandments? Satan throws a wrench in that sometimes, and we fall short of that goal. But yet we have an avenue of returning to God through Christ Jesus. Are we willing to go where God sends us? Or are you comfortable just the status quo staying here? God should be always on the forefront of a Christian's mind. And it's up to you and I to follow His precepts, follow His laws, follow His guidance through us reading the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Old Testament gives us a lot of information that will assist us in our way of life. We see the pitfall, sin that separated the children of Israel from God, and also that will be applicable to us today if we continue in that sinful relationship. It separates us from God. Ruth, she made a commitment to family. She made a commitment to Naomi's family. She's going to stay and be part of that family. But more important than that commitment, she made a commitment to God. She wanted to follow Jehovah God and do what's right in His sight. Finally, she made a commitment to death. The only thing that's going to separate the two women, Naomi and Ruth, was going to be death. That is huge. What is our commitment to the Lord? Are we committed to His spiritual family? Are we committed to follow God's laws? I know we question sometimes. We decide to do what we want to do. But the bottom line is you have to adhere to God's laws. You have to listen to Him. Just because you think you could do it better, you're going to find out in the long run it's not going to work out. Are you committed to the serving God, even if it means sacrificing your life? Naomi was putting everything on the line. And that's a lesson that we should continue to do in our lives when we serve God. The saints at Thessalonica did that. In verses 9 and 10 of chapter 1 for 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, "For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serve a living and true God, and to wait for a Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath of God." Here's saints at Thessalonica who turned from idols, just as Ruth did, turn from her idols and worship God. And that's something that we should do. Turn our backs on idols. And that idol could be anything in our lives. It could be our jobs, we could be money, it could be sports, anything that separates us from God. We should be able to assemble together. And not just to be here in bodily form, but yet to glorify God, to read His Word, glean from it what He expects you and I to do. Why did Naomi change the name, her name? Exactly. We see that Naomi means pleasant, lovely, delightful. We studied that last week. And Mara means bitter in taste or experience. When the ladies in Bethlehem saw Naomi come back, and, "Hey, isn't that Naomi? Where's she been all this time? Don't forget, she's been gone over 10 years. 10 years or more." So in Ruth chapter 19, verses 21, chapter 1, verses 19 and 21, Bob, would you read that for us, please?
"So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came about when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was stirred because of them. And the woman said, 'Is this Naomi?' And she said to them, 'Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but Jehovah has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since Jehovah has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?'"
Thank you. So we see that Naomi still recognized this God as Almighty, as Lord, Jehovah, the Almighty. And she was bitter in her heart because of the trials that she endured, the troubles that entered her life. But yet, she still recognizes Jehovah God. Yes?
Is there a difference between being bitter in her heart and being bitter because of all of the things that you've endured? It just seems to me like she doesn't have to have a bitter heart to be bitter, because that's what life has given her. You know, mm-hmm. You suck on a sour popsicle, you're gonna pucker. And I mean, you don't have to have a bitter heart, I don't think, in order to be know that your life is now bitter.
Well, bitter is bitter.
Yeah.
It troubles him. Yes, Bob?
She didn't say she was bitter. She said that Almighty had dealt bitterly with her.
Right. And what happened was, she realizes that. She realizes when they went to Moab, the region, maybe they shouldn't have. But yet, they did. And now she's facing the consequences. Of course, the Almighty dealt bitterly with Naomi, and also the Lord brought her back empty. She didn't have her husband or sons, and she was childless. So the last question is, when did Naomi and Ruth arrive in Bethlehem? The barley harvest, right, at the beginning of the barley harvest. And we read that, so Naomi returned with, and with her Ruth the Moabitess, or that's probably the last time I'm going to say that one, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the harvest. Thank you, everybody, for your time, your questions, and your responses. Next week's lesson sheets are on the back, chapter 2, and we'll continue our study next Wednesday.